All right, sup, internets? Welcome to the ROI of Why, your number one podcast that focuses on all things purpose and impact as it relates to business. Sometimes I say it the other way around, I think. I don't know. This is Andrew. As always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Angie Kubicek. Homie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Awesome. It is, Friday.
Yay. I love
but
Fridays.
The episode comes out on Monday, so we just confused
everybody.
So happy
Monday.
Happy Monday. Coming to you from Friday.
Yes.
Interesting.
You know, so we're on the Friday high, and it'll launch on the Monday weekday high? I don't know. Depends on where people
time space is weird.
I know, it really is.
It's a thing.
And I'm on a little bit of E today because my poor puppy was having hip issues last night, so I stayed up with him.
That's so good.
You know, just making sure that my old man puppy can... hopefully just take a little Advil to help out that arthritic hip.
Yeah. Well, I hope all is good with the puppy.
He is. He'll be fine. I think he's just attentioning a little bit.
Sure.
I think.
Sure. So today's episode is not just about puppies.
No.
Today we are
going
to be.
Although we love
them. Yeah, same. Today we are going to be talking about what does it mean to live for purpose? It's going to be a very interesting conversation. One that I feel like we've started scratching at the surface pretty aggressively with a lot of the conversations that we've had.
Totally.
We've never really done the deep dive.
Yeah,
right?
No. I think I've mentioned, I kind of listen back just because I always like hearing the nuggets we've gotten from a lot of our guests. And one of the things that really kind of connected with me after the last couple weeks of conversations is that we haven't really taken someone down a walk of how do we start this or how do we reinvigorate this for our company?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think a lot of people think it's this huge overwhelming beast, which it can be, but also a lot of it's just already there. It's just putting a definition to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know, you know, you're in the number one fan club of John Rood, but
I am. We meet weekly. It's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I think I'll get like a LaCroix, a weekly shout out just because he's fantastic. But
and John, if you're listening, I owe you a Facebook message reply. I'm sorry, I'm not ghosting you. It's been a crazy week. So look
out
for that.
You would never ghost
John. I'm not going to ghost John Rood. Come on.
But, you know, especially in the week of the Disney Plus launch.
Right,
so
right.
It's pretty crazy. But I was just thinking about what he spoke about was just making sure that you are being responsible to the stories that you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And how a lot of businesses are trying to understand how to navigate that. So I'm kind of excited to walk through some of this. So we recently did an activity at Fire Spring mm-hmm. where we started to define our own personal purposes and within our team. So, and you, I think Andrew's mentioned it, you're an entrepreneur and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had your company come into Fire Spring. So from that lens and perspective, talk about what those activities mean for you and how they kind of validate the path that you're on as a person and then as you go to lead teams.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great because it allows you to strip out any ambiguity that may be at play, right? And so what I mean by that is there's 200 people in this building. We all come in and we all know what the actual overall purpose and goal of Fire Spring is. But I think where some mystery in the makeup is at play is, okay, what is my actual individual contribution to help achieve that greater goal, the greater good, right?
Right.
And so what I really enjoyed about that exercise and then the contemplation leading up to it is really dialing in how do you break it down to a singular component? How do you mm-hmm. break it down to make it super granular and work it backwards to find the thing?
Right.
Right. And so that was a really interesting exercise for me. And I spent a lot of time contemplating on it. And it's okay, if this is the end goal over here of to help more companies achieve their goals financially, marketing, messaging, all the things so they can do more good, how am I in my position setting myself up and my teams up to be able to work towards that goal? And when you work it backwards, you start to find things okay, I'm not just going to be doing these five things on the daily. There's a whole other layer of advocacy and support and, relationship, human connection, and just you really break it down. And for me, it was cool to kind of get a sense of under the hood, what really matters. Right.
Yeah. And I think it's asking yourself and then taking that to your teams and having the dialogues of why are we doing this? What is the impact we think we're driving? Why do we even exist?
Yeah.
So there are competitors for every business out there.
Sure.
And so I think making, like pushing yourself to keep going a level deeper and a mm-hmm. level deeper is where people really find that like aha moment.
Yeah.
And like, this is what we're here for.
Yep.
And I think that's a really important exercise as a company and as a team, or if you as an individual are starting to define like, what is my purpose? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Those are some of the key questions that you have to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always a good exercise to do with other team players or other leaders within your organization, because you're each going to unearth a different fact yeah. or insight.
Totally.
About that purpose.
And I enjoy doing that with other leaders, other members of, you know, leadership team, directors, managers, all those, all the things there. But where I really, really found it to be not impactful, where I really found it to be just like kind of a whoa moment mm-hmm. was when you sit with the team that's executing
yeah.
and you ask them these questions, and that gives you the opportunity to find out like what's really motivating them, what's important to them, and then you can lead to that too.
Exactly.
Right? Because yes, we all share the same common goal, but what motivates, you know, this person over here is going to be different than what motivates this person over here.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that information allows you as a leader to position yourself to be able to like know those things, speak to those things, but then like create a space that, like, I don't want to say leverages those things, because that sounds negative, but
right.
you know, be able to create an environment that gives them the opportunity to like work with and towards the things that motivate them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I even think about the fact that, you know, if you're with your leadership team and you're starting to go through these exercises and mm-hmm. conversations, then if you start to make sure that, are we aligned in this vision of right. what our purpose is? I think this is where a lot of companies have stop gaps
mm-hmm.
and working through their purpose or launching their purpose is that they haven't effectively team built around their purpose statement
yeah, yeah.
or where they're going. And so it's such a critical step in the process is as you're defining, like, why do we exist? What's our why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I care? Why do I get out of bed? Why would someone hire us over, you know, what is it about our company that we're standing for? If there's misalignment, it's going to really derail the entire project process
yeah.
and your business down the road, potentially.
Well, if there's dichotomy or bifurcation between the visionary and then the rest of the team, that creates two North Stars.
Yeah.
Right? And we're only supposed to have one North Star. So here's an example. So there's a company here locally that I've been working with, and originally they came in wanting some web development work, and just getting to know them, the two members of the leadership team that I've had a lot of FaceTime with, and starting to get a sense of like the chronology of their organization. They've mm-hmm. been around for a very, very, very long time. The company recently changed hands, and when they acquired this company, they realized, okay, culturally, there are, you know, 50 or 60 years of history at play
yeah.
here.
Wow.
And it's very much built like it was 50 or 60 years ago, right? Show up, clock in, do the work, that's it, go
yeah.
home. And there was like a really challenging moment when they realized, okay, we want to reboot this culture, and mm-hmm. we want it to be a culture that is focused on doing good, and we want it to be a place where people love to come to work, and they wanted that buy-in. But they were struggling to achieve it because the two members of the leadership team that were trying to incentivize and inspire those kinds of trajectory shifts in you know, mm-hmm. the direction, the teams themselves were not ready for that. Furthermore, the teams themselves weren't really consulted.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
once they had that kind of aha moment and they started asking the team, how can we achieve this? What is going to resonate with you? They did see an immediate shift. And so it's been really cool to watch them try to reboot all these things, mm-hmm. which is not easy, right?
Yeah.
And they're a
especially
large
organization. Especially that old of a culture.
That large of a culture,
yeah.
right? They have about 250 people in the organization. So Jeez. It's like that many humans who are used to a thing, rebooting mm-hmm. it, that's going to create some chaos and whatnot. And but what they're telling me is that the buy-in is so much more efficient now than it ever was.
Yeah, and I think like a tip for some of the enterprise-sized organizations is you're never going to you could do a survey and hope everyone responds, but that's a great tactic to start to get some of that buy-in and mm-hmm. connection moment. But just then having stakeholders from each team be the voice representative and giving them homework to take back to their teams
yeah.
is such a good exercise. And then they can bring those collective voices back to the leadership group who's defining this purpose. And the leadership group doesn't have to be the C-suite. A lot of times we kind of recommend that you have your C-suite create the vision, but then that you have a different team of stakeholders actually manifest that vision mm-hmm. and really put some roots around it, because it's what the teams in collaboration want. But you're also going to get a different type of honesty and openness from your teammates who maybe won't be as vulnerable to the CEO just because of historic parameters that have you know, and everyone's like, no, you have to always be buttoned up in front of a CEO or whatever it may be, depending on your culture. But there are a lot of just little things you can do like that to scale this into either a large organization mm-hmm. or if you're starting at zero, like it's a little bit easier of a task because mm-hmm. that's you're going from the ground up. But
I think it's a one-to-one comparison, right? It's like whether it's a startup or an enterprise, like either way, if I'm a CEO or I'm the visionary, if we're talking about an EOS or a traction model or whatever, for me to assume and project those assumptions mm-hmm. onto other human beings is dangerous as hell.
It totally
is. And it's not effective, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're able to actually validate those things through conversation or through you know, surveys like you had mentioned and mm-hmm. having different layers and tiers of you know, advocates and all the things, when people know, not just feel, but they know that they have a voice that is directly influencing the trajectory of an organization and what they're, I mean, we spend so many hours of our lives at work.
Right.
Right?
It's the majority.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of insane if you really think about it. That's
it's
a separate conversation.
Yeah, that's in a few weeks, kids.
But, you know, like when somebody has that sensibility that the things that they think or what motivates them or the things that are important to them mm-hmm. or what they, you know, really want to stand for, when those are heard and not just, you know, ancillarily heard or whatever, mm-hmm. but they're actually taken into consideration and there's meaning behind them, that has a dramatic effect on the mind of that human being. Because they're a part of an ecosystem that's bigger than one person. Hey guys, we're all working towards this goal mm-hmm. because I said.
Right.
Right?
Well, and that's where then you have to also then allow that openness for a debate and for that dialogue, because you're not necessarily going to always agree off the bat. You might have...
You don't?
I know. It's very weird. People always agree with me, I guess, but no.
I disagree.
But being able to have that dialogue and discourse, because when you're setting that purpose statement, the words you choose to utilize become incredibly important mm-hmm. because they become the defining statement for your business about... Mm-hmm. Why do I work here? Why did I show up? Why did someone decide to come be our client or partner with us or whatever it may be?
Or but why should I give a shit?
It's so intentional. Mm-hmm. And so there will be a lot of round robin discussions. This isn't the silver bullet where you nail it in one day. This is this is kind of a, you know, a quarter or an annual self-discovery process for people. And so that's where the next step, so after you've had those questions and you kind of start to go down a rabbit hole and you start to get some synergies within the teams and your different stakeholders within your audience, it's really important that you create a statement that's so simple and gettable and that people can retain in their brain. So everyone's always like, what's my elevator speech?
Right.
And so your purpose statement should almost be that.
Yeah.
It should be a very succinct way that people, they may not know all of the elements of what your business operates within, but they'll know at least why you're in business and why you exist.
Right.
And so I thought the one we did with FireSpring the other day was really cool because we used our purpose statement and then we had to say like what we did to help achieve that purpose mm-hmm. statement. So I thought that was a pretty cool exercise. So it's almost, I always relate it back to a really mature game we played in college, but it was like that drinking game where then you added something to the end of every sentence. And so you should be mm-hmm. able to add your purpose statement almost to the end of every statement on why each team is coming to work every day.
I always thought it was really neat too in that exercise when you go around the room and you talk about the way people are like contributing to the purpose, but mm-hmm. what is their actual like purpose behind the purpose being achieved?
Yeah.
The differences in those answers were pretty eye-opening, right? But they're all a part of the same ecosystem. And I think another point that you just made that's super important is that this is not a box that you check and you're done. Right. And I'm sure that scares some people out there where they look at this as, oh, man, this is like a recurring obligation that I have to tackle. But if you change your perspective a little bit and understand that this is an evolution based on all of the things that need to be considered, whether it's the size of your team, what's happening in the marketplace. Have you guys had an epiphany as to what purpose 2.0 looks like? You know what I mean? Like it should be a regular rhythm, whether it's quarterly or annually or whatever, that is defined. That way everybody knows they're always going to have the opportunity for input and ideas.
Yeah, I think we every quarter will ask, is this still the North Star? Is this still the thing that we need to address? Right. And as a vision team, we decide either, yep, still works, makes sense. Mm-hmm. No, we need to evolve it. And so that was something we recently did because our purpose statement was a little bit more verbose. And so we really simplified it that, you know, as FireSpring, our purpose is to help our clients grow and prosper so they can do more good.
Right.
Right? Very cut and dry. And that also is a little bit general, so it can have different, take different meanings because we work in such a variety of industries.
For sure.
And so I just kind of encourage, you know, people out there as you're trying to make it very specific or incredibly niche. It's not your niche statement. It's not what you're selling. It's why you exist.
Yeah.
And so make sure it's something that from your most junior, part-time, intern employee to the C-suite can all identify to and
straight
all
up
can connect themselves in. Like, I even think our internal team, our building facility director team, we were like, they're like, well, how does this pertain to us? And I'm like, well, you're our first impression.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't have this great first impression and get a sense of our purpose when they walk in our building, we've completely already lost an opportunity to connect with somebody. Mm-hmm. And so for them, even, it was like that aha moment of sometimes you have to really pull someone into those purpose statements. But then if you keep digging and asking why, well, why do we have you do this? What is this for? Mm-hmm. Why do you come to work every day? Then it helps build that connection. And then everyone starts drumming to the same beat, which
tell
is
me your thoughts
nice.
On, I mean, yes, I agree. Then well said. Tell me your thoughts on motivating a team. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, where it's like, you know, at our level, we focus a lot on not only where are we going, what are we trying to achieve, how are we trying to do more good, but then there's also the business aspect of it.
Totally.
Right? Like when you sit down, you look at the P&L, like you got to have more money coming in than going out because that's just the way the world works.
Right.
But I also feel, I said earlier, to project my assumptions onto other human beings, I feel is dangerous.
Totally.
And so I feel like if I go out onto the floor or in a meeting with a team and I say, I need you to care about profitability. I also feel like under the hood, in some people's minds, the reaction is, but why?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's no fault of their own. That doesn't mean that they're disengaged. It just means that that's not what their focus
them.
Is. Exactly.
Yeah.
So how, in your opinion, Angie, can you motivate a team to care about all of the things within the ecosystem, even if it's not something that's like within their parameters of their blinders or whatever?
I think it's, you know, I put on my marketing hat and lately I've been really beating this drum around micro content and personalization. And as much as I preach that to our clients, we have to exhibit that as leaders. Mm-hmm. So I can't assume that I can throw out a blanket statement and all of my team members are going to identify with it. So you have to get to know your team and you have to know what's going to make them tick. Like I have a team member who, she is an animal lover. And so, you know, we were doing an activity the other day and she was able to go out and actually like volunteer at an animal shelter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, well, we have to get these things done in order to be able to go do that. Or, we have this big volunteer philosophy here at FireSpring. But I'm like, the only way we can do that is if we're nailing our work. Mm-hmm. If we're not hitting our work correctly, if we're having to redo work, that pulls out our ability to give back to our community. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to preach it, like in some of my team members' sense of the things that I know motivate them is this volunteer connected to our community philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so I hold, if we do it right and do it well, we'll get more clients.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get more clients, we can do more of the things that fuel your passion
and make
you go to sleep at night thinking, man, I did work today, but I also made this impact. And it's for some of them, it's great that our clients are winning, but then they also then think I did all this extra impact in the world. So
what's the reaction?
You have to know it's pretty positive. That helps, I think, motivate people, right?
Yeah.
Like I get motivated. I'm a salesperson at heart, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very much so in order to get to this outcome, I have to achieve these things. And so you just have to figure out what that outcome is that you have to align someone to. And then you say all of these things can align to that outcome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that gets people jazzed and excited, and it makes it personal.
Yeah.
Versus
anytime
this, like,
you can humanize a thing, right?
Blah business objective of we need to hit X percent profit margin, or we need to have this much in revenue. I mean, I've been the junior employee where you're like, sweet, I make $7 an hour.
Right.
Like, I'm getting paid crap.
Yeah, that cool
means
story, bro.
Nothing to
right,
me.
Right.
But also for people like, when we'll talk about it, I think in one of our upcoming week episodes, where Gen Z, as we talk about purpose, it's also about how you treat your employees. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, I want to make more money, but then I also want to give back and do all these things, there's an education that comes with that. And mm-hmm. so helping people understand, if we do this top line revenue, this is how it breaks down to the personal level, mm-hmm. to our community level. And we have to start telling those stories. And that transparency, I think, is really important. But what about for you? How do you kind of tackle motivation within your teams?
I think it's going to depend on the human.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't help but go back to projecting assumptions is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, in my limited experience, and
very worldly,
the amount of times that I have failed,
yeah.
and failure is, I think, the best teacher. I have found that if I assume what motivates somebody, that creates a very, very, very disconnected experience. And I think when we have that conversation about, you know, Gen Z and all those things, we'll probably dig into it a little bit more. But I feel like human connection, real human connection,
yes.
is the only thing that really matters.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing that through a lens that I've never really employed before. And it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
To where it's not just the check the box, how's your morning? Is your coffee at an optimal temperature so it doesn't burn your tongue? Like stupid shit that we're just going through the motions, but like actually having a real
yeah.
connection and conversation with somebody. And when we talk about doing good, like, yes, it's amazing to go do the thing at the animal shelter or go do the thing mm-hmm. at the bay or, you know, insert like purpose XYZ right there.
Right.
But I feel like if you peel back that, like the layer below that, you go one level deeper, not just in a leadership capacity or a director capacity, but just in a like human capacity, we have this ability and this gift to really impact other humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the little things.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that it always has to be this huge, large, grandiosed like thing, production, whatever. And those are great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock
discredit.
Those. But like little moments where you can have a connection with somebody that just like makes them think or feel something that is different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's motivated by like good.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It totally does. It's just, it's creating a story that people can, they have to identify.
Mm-hmm.
And if people aren't identifying in, I think, oh my gosh, Ed, blanking on his last name, from Gallup, who we had on the show,
mm-hmm.
he really touched in on that. The number of disengaged employees right now is like,
the
number was like gut-wrenching
mm-hmm.
in a way that I just was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine. Like everyone has a crappy day at the office. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie, I've had a day this week where I was just like, I'm pretty sure I'm failing. This is awful. Or everyone has those moments, but I still get every day I get up and I'm like, I get to go work for a pretty badass company that's
mm-hmm.
trying to do it right. And I'd much rather work at a company like that with people like that
right.
than be a robot or drone in and a cog in the wheel feeling, but that so many people feel that way was mm-hmm. kind of like heartbreaking, especially to the stat that we spend so much time at work.
Right, right. Average person starts working full-time at 18. Average person doesn't retire until they are 67 and a half. Average human life expectancy is 85, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like when you really break it down, the majority of our life is spent at work. And if you have an experience where you're disconnected and you feel like just the cog in the wheel or whatever, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Move on.
Yeah.
No one should feel like a cog.
Right.
So
the all of that is said to, because you asked me like, what do I feel motivates people? I think it's when you're able to develop that kind of connection, you can just straight up ask them.
I know.
And it's
crazy
weird how that works.
Asking somebody a question.
Right? So I look at it. So I talked a little bit earlier about that company that I was working with that, you know, really wanted to reshape, reboot the culture, their purpose, their impact, all the things. Do you have any examples of organizations that you, because we're not always in the same room, right?
No.
So like, have you worked with anybody lately that is on that path or trying to define
actually, it's like a hot item right now for us as a company. But a lot of clients are really wanting to figure that out. It's, and then not even from just a marketing lens, but just from a like, holy shit, we need this as a business lens because they're understanding the changing expectations of the workforce as well as consumers.
Yeah.
And also, like I always think about it, like you're a little lost until you have that purpose that, again, gets you up every day and you can quickly think about, this is what I'm getting up for.
Yeah.
This is what I'm gonna go do. This is what I'm gonna go spend my time away from my family. And so, actually Tammy and Brandon Day from Dacos, they have a really great purpose statement and they're actually working to build onto that. And so we're going to help them with some of that. So that's a company that did it right.
Yeah.
They used all their team members from different levels to really drive what that purpose was going to be for them. But now it's making sure that they're articulating it in a way that stays genuine to what they offer to their clients. And also the thing that I think a lot of people are struggling to figure out is how do you not market it in the sense of like a marketing gimmick, but how do you inform your clients and customers about it so they start to feel that purpose?
How do you tell the story?
And yeah, it's the storytelling aspect. And so that's, I mean, I think I can count like 6 to 10 clients right now who are in the works coming in where they are trying to figure out this purpose so that way they as a team can be on the same page. That's essentially for a lot of them. It's about how we're disconnected, we're feeling disjointed. It's amazing. We have all this great technology at our fingertips, but one of the most damaging things it's done is it's stopped the human-to-human interaction. So the fact that like you and I are sitting here looking at each other in the eyes, having a conversation, we have Dustin over here listening to our words and like making show notes and different things like that, it's kind of like a lost activity.
Oh, it is.
And so even internally here at Firespring, we're actually moving back to like the archaic job jackets for our team members because we realized everyone's just so at their computers typing, and Slack is great. I hate email, but Slack is great for like quick hit information, but we've lost that human engagement a little bit. And so we're going back to the job jackets because it's important. Like you need that face-to-face just for collaboration, team connectedness, and making sure people are having that human connection. So even, I think that's totally getting just like evaporated from mine. So I almost sometimes find it hilarious as I started my career in digital marketing that I'm now sitting here talking to clients being like, well, what are you doing with print? What are you doing with phone calls?
Yeah.
How are you making sure you're connecting with your clients this many times? Like, I'm literally trying to teach people sometimes this is how often you should just have a conversation. And so that's, as we define this purpose, like I think Firespring has a great purpose. We have a great vision and path for ourselves. But without that human layer in it, it will not work.
Right.
And so that's going to be one of the most critical things is also making sure that your team feels like a team.
Yeah.
So,
well said.
It's so ironic. Crazy to me sometimes.
It's so ironic, isn't it? That like in the information age, technology age, we are more connected now than we ever have been, but we are also more disconnected than we ever have been.
Yeah. I always think about how funny it is. Like when you tell someone like, oh, just call them. And you get this like look of panic sometimes from people.
Like with my words?
What? I have to talk on the phone? Can I just text them? No, like use your verbal. Like it's like my 18-month-old right now. He'll just sign to me even though I know he knows the words. Yeah. And I'm like, use your words, dude. Yeah. I appreciate that you can sign. That really served its point for you, but give mama more. And so it's just getting that back to that basic, like, again, getting used to, and I think it's this level of vulnerability that we have lost. And as you're going through purpose, as you're going through rebuilding human connections within your team and literally looking someone in the eye and doing a conversation, is as a leader, you have to open up that vulnerability to how this purpose drives you. And that's where people are going to start to drink the Kool-Aid, feel the passion. And I would say as a leader, if you're working through these purpose exercises, and right now it's just you in your office writing down like, why are we doing this? What are we good at? Why are we good at what we do? What do people say about us? Why do I get out of bed every day? If you're doing those exercises, you need to start having those exercises at the water cooler in your break room, like I sometimes will intentionally schedule time on my calendar to make sure I'm going out and having those touch points, mm-hmm. because it's so easy to get stuck in meetings or like churning through work that as a leader, you forget to do those moments. But that's how you make sure your purpose resonates through your team. You can do some cool launch exercises. You can do the activity we were talking about where we had every manager go through and talk about how our purpose mm-hmm. connects to them as a leader and to their teams. So then they can do that exercise with their team. But then before you can even announce that purpose, you have to make sure that you're having those questions answered. And so
they have to be able to feel it.
Yeah. And right? people, and then how cool is it if you ask that question to a person and then they go back and be like, hey, you know what? I just got asked today. I got asked this question. So then if the conversation starts to organically permeate, mm-hmm. just will make everything kind of switch yeah. that much faster. Yep, so, yep. so yeah, so I think this is a really important starting point for so many people. And I think there's a ton of great examples of companies out there doing their purpose statements right.
Yeah.
If you go to B Labs, if you just Google it, it's J. Cohen Gilbert's group that he's helped co-found, where there's a ton of companies who are going through that, you know, certified B Corp status. Mm-hmm. And you can see companies that are doing this yeah. and are actively pursuing this path. And so do your research. You can search things by industry or by location. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of find people who are in your swim lane, who are like your company or that you aspire to be. And you can use those as role models.
Yeah.
And would really recommend following them in social and just checking in with their websites and what they're doing. So mm-hmm. that way you can learn from some of the people that are doing. So
yeah.
who? What's a company that you watch right now?
That I just like watch in social?
You just kind of like, who, is there anyone that you're like, man, they're starting to do it right and kind of have your eye on them?
Hmm. Or not, would, not starting to do it right because I feel like they have right. for a long time. But Tom Shoes has always... Oh, yeah. I got super into what Blake Bukowski was doing. God, it's been over a decade
yeah.
now. And I just love what that company stands for, and I love what they're doing, and I love the way that it's very authentic, mm-hmm. it's genuine, and because I think that that's a big challenge for a lot of organizations is how do we tell this story mm-hmm. without it feeling like, and now we want you to buy this thing because we did all this other stuff, right? And the way that they've positioned their purpose and what they're doing for the world, I feel mm-hmm. like it's done with grace and poise, and it's authentic.
Yeah.
And you feel that. Yeah, they would be a beacon for me
yeah,
for sure.
They're pretty phenomenal. And what's great about them is they've done it from day one.
Yes.
They've done it from the inception. But that they also haven't wavered, right? Mm-hmm. It would have been really easy for them to be like, oh, it'd be more cost effective if we did it a different way. Mm-hmm. And they chose not to.
Right.
And so, and that's probably the hard conversation you have to have with yourself about your purpose statement. Mm-hmm. And as how do we start to even explore this world about our purpose over profit is mm-hmm. what concessions are you willing to make? What are you willing, like you have to talk through that. And that's where the dialogue gets right. a little heady at times and intense is. Right. How are we going, like, what are we willing to say no to? Mm-hmm.
Well, the easy thing is not the mm-hmm. rewarding thing in most scenarios.
That is so true. Right. But, well, awesome. This yeah. has been good.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, some good nuggets were shared.
For sure.
People have a little exercises that they could do. I challenge everyone, start having some of those water cooler discussions. Mm-hmm. Hit us up on social. Let us know how it goes.
Check out B-Labs. See what they yes. have going on. Make sure that you guys subscribe as well. That way you're always in the know when the new episode drops on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you are a company that you feel like, man, we're doing it right and you want to tell your story and how you discovered this path to purpose and how your team is living it, hit us up. Let us know. We'd mm-hmm. love to have you on the show. Or if you know of a company, send them our way. We're yep. always looking for new friends to talk to in this space.
Damn straight.
Yay.
Cool. Well, as awesome. Always, it's a pleasure looking yes. into your eyeballs like a human and talking
across
to you.
Across the table.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in for this week's installment of the ROI of Why. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
How do you keep your family healthy this season when it feels like everyone around you is getting sick? I use Sambacol. It's drug-free and scientifically tested to help support your immunity. Sambacol has the power of black elderberry in every purple bottle. It comes in tablets, syrup, chewables, or my kids' favorite, the great-tasting gummies. So this cold and flu season, support your family's immunity with Sambacol Black Elderberry. It's the only one I trust for my family. And best of all, my kids love it too.
Are you looking for a rewarding career that pays well and offers vacation days from the start? If so, then drive for Penske. Penske is hiring safe, experienced truck drivers to operate their fleet of more than 300,000 vehicles for dedicated routes. Join our Penske team and drive the difference. Talk to a Penske representative today to find out what jobs are available in your area and apply now. Call 855-CDL-PENSKE. That's 855-235-7367.
If your neighbor borrowed your roasting pan and it never returned, don't worry. Family Dollar has you covered. With foil roasting pans starting at just $1, we'll fill your last-minute holiday needs for less. Visit Family Dollar today.